You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Weed Seed. Go to Genesis chapter 1 first, and then we'll do some splaining. Genesis chapter 1, this is what goes down on the third day. Pretty simple, but pretty profound. Genesis 1:11, then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. So fruit, specifically, the seed for the fruit is in the fruit, so you get the seed for more fruit from the fruit. And the herb that yields seed, fruit trees, so it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, so the evening and the morning were the third day. So pretty straightforward. You got vegetation, you got fruit, you got all this stuff that kicks in, and seed built into that. Now go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, and let's actually jump in at verse 1, though we're not going to do the first section of Matthew 13, but I just want to mention it. Because in Matthew 13, verse 1 and following, Jesus talks about this concept, this reaping and sowing thing. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and a great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. The whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow." So you say, well, why does he tell these kind of stories? Because his audience was an agrarian audience. They understood this. It's reaping, sowing, sheep, fishing, all these things that they did made complete sense. So he says, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places while they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they were withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So he's telling them stuff that this is no-brainer, dude. What are you talking about? We all know if seed falls on different places, it does that. But the end of the thing is powerful, because if your seed hits the right place, it can explode on you. It can multiply on you. Now, you hear the phrase, people say, and usually when I hear this, and even when I've used it sometimes, well, you know, you reap what you sow, as though that's some terrible thing. It's straight out of Genesis chapter 1. The power of that is, if you take apple seed and you plant apple seeds, eventually what you expect from that is apples. And if you could somehow get your hand on weed seed and you planted weed seed, you would not expect apples. You would say, this is what I planted. This is what I'm going to get. But yet we are shocked when we put weed seed in the ground and don't get back something good. And as it turns out, weed seed multiplies as well. In fact, it just blows, and wherever it lands, it kind of takes over. Go down to verse 24, though. Let's go to another parable. "Another parable he put forth to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field.'" So it's all good so far. "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." Now, what kind of fool, what kind of enemy do you have that if you plant wheat, everyone is asleep, and you in the night while everyone is sleeping are taking energy, taking effort to go in there and plant tares? And this is just a basic kind of weed. Let me read you something about this tares thing. It comes from a word, zizania. The word is thought to mean darnel. In the technical term, I think, here is Lolium tumulatium, the ryegrass, which looks much like wheat in its early stages of growth. Roman law prohibited sowing darnel among the wheat of an enemy. So it was so terrible a thing to do, it was against the law. You did not go maliciously and sow this in the middle of somebody's crop. And the thing about this thing is, you couldn't tell the difference until it got to harvest and the grains appear on the head of this wheat. You went, oh my gosh, we've been hit. Most people couldn't tell the difference. So go back in the passage. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. And these guys could tell the difference. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field?" Like, obviously, you could not have intended to sow both of these together. We know that's what you did. That's what anybody would do. Did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, "An enemy has done this." Okay, now let's stop there. So you meet someone, you see their marriage, you see their life, you see their children. And the obvious question would be for anybody, well, didn't you intend to sow the right stuff into that family, into that kid, into that marriage? And you go, well, certainly. Then why are there so many weeds in this house? How did this get here? Now, you'll see in a minute, we'll see exactly what Jesus talked about here. But when I sit down with people, what I observe with us, me included, is that, yes, we have good intentions, but a lot of the time, there's no other explanation. It is like we are literally saying, now I'm going to plant weeds in my life, as though that were something you would do. And you say, well, what are you talking about? Look at what we do, what we listen to, what we look at, where we go, our lives, our behavior, the things in our heart. You say, well, this is just normal life. But if you let that stuff go, it has a way of just taking over your whole yard. You say, well, that just kind of naturally happens. I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about literally planting weeds in your family. Think of the things that you say to your children. A dad's job, you know, if you're a single mom or if you're a single dad or if you're a couple, that still happens some. Raising kids, you know, you think, well, what are you saying to your kids? You're sowing either great stuff into their hearts and minds or you're crushing them. You're planting weeds. You're just subtly saying things that ultimately end up in their heads and destroy them. I've got weeds that my well-intentioned parents, as great a job as they did, there were still things that got planted in my head. And so I have to ask God, do not let these things take root in my life, especially when I know they're not true, but the enemy uses them to crush me. You say, well, what kind of things can you say to a kid? You say, well, I was upset and all that, you know, you'll never amount to anything. You're just like your father. You're just like your mother. And these are not, you know, kind things when they're said, implied the negative stuff. Telling a kid you'll never amount to anything, what does that engender in a child? And so you plant these weeds, you plant these weed seeds in their lives, and you wonder, well, why did they turn out so troubled? And what do you do to offset that? You sow something different. Okay, go back to the passage here. The servants of the owner came to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Then how does it have tares?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" Okay, so do we go into the field and start pulling the tares, pulling the weeds? But he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them." And you can't pull the wheat till the wheat is whitened to harvest and it's time to harvest it, or you won't have a crop. You'll just have a bunch of stuff to burn. "Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." So without hollering and screaming and banging on podiums and trying to scare you, I'm going to try to scare you as quietly as I can, okay? There is consequence. There are a lot of people that look like wheat for a while, and you end up being nothing but weeds. You say, how would I know the difference? Or the question is, do you even care? Go down a few verses, verse 36. "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.'" Like, we don't get it. "He answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man.'" Okay, so who's the Son of Man? Jesus. And that's who he is. So he is the sower in this particular story. And what is he sowing? Good seed. What does good seed result in? A good crop. So you sit in this room, you sit in your car, you sit wherever you are listening to this, and you either have been sown into by the Son of Man, or you have resisted that and it has not happened yet, or it will never happen. And the odds are, if you're not someone who has been sown into by the Son of Man, you turn this off anyway, you're not listening anymore. So the fact that if you're still listening, there's a chance he might have a shot at sowing into you. why is the gospel such a powerful thing? Because I know if all I can do is communicate to anyone, anywhere, that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and raised from the dead for their sins, if that truth gets deposited in that person, it can germinate and bear fruit and that person be saved. That's all it takes. Do not get away from the simplicity that is in the gospel. You say, well, I don't know what I would say. You know exactly what to say. Because if all you can say is, look, I don't know much about this, I haven't been a Christian very long, but I know this, that Jesus loves you, and he died on the cross and was buried and raised from the dead because he loves you, and you can be saved. And that's it. And you walk away, and God will do his thing. It is so powerful. You say, well, I don't get it. You don't have to get it. A seed, you don't have to understand what happens to a seed in the ground to shove it in the ground and then back away and let it do its thing, because it will do its thing. Keep reading. He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Now, I don't even know if these people are here or listening anymore to this, but what this describes is the tares are people. These are the sons of the wicked one. And where do they come from? The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. So you say, well, I don't think I like what you're implying, that I could be a son of the devil, the wicked one. Then don't be. You say, but you're saying I might be. Then don't be. You say, well, how's that even possible? Get adopted out of that family into this one. Get out of that family. You can look like wheat. You can think it's all okay, but when in this story, when the angels come and start separating out the crop, you're not going to make it. You say, I don't care. Well, you're going to care, but by the time you care, it's going to be too late. You say, dude, let it go. Don't worry about us. It's part of what it should be in all of our hearts. Keep reading. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels. You tell us just some kind of story he's telling. This is going to happen. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So please, if you're still listening, then you can't get there and say, I didn't know, nobody warned me, nobody told me. We're trying to tell you, not that you're going to hell. We're primarily telling you, you don't have to end up there. People say, well, I don't think a loving God would send anyone to hell. That's not his intent. But if that's what you choose by rejecting God's this priceless offer, then who's it on? You say, but I feel evil. I know I'm lost. Then you're a prime candidate for salvation. Because you go, I don't want to live this way. I don't want to die this way. Then do something about it. Don't just live that way. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you've got ears to hear this, God's given you the ability to hear and understand, then do something about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's jump in at verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you have previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. But this I say, now this is in terms of giving specifically. You say, well, now you're talking about money, mixing all these things. Yeah, it's all part of the deal. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. It's a fact. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So if your attitude is, oh, well, I guess we have to give then because the Bible says so. I mean, now you're the joker. Giving money, you know. So the baskets come by and, you know, your heart may beat a little bit and you go, oh God, I don't know how we're going to make it, but I trust you. So here's what's yours. And then you wait expectantly. And then he shows up and you go, wow, it works. And then you give cheerfully because you realize there's something to this. It's the same thing spiritually as it is physically. You plant seed. If you plant weed seed, you get weed. If you plant apples, whatever you plant, that's what you get. Keep reading. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Look at these all things. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower. So where do you get the seed? It's from him. You say, no, I made my own seed. Then that's your problem. Oh, I'm a self-made man. Good luck with that. Show me the dirt you came from and how you breathed on your own mud to make you. It didn't happen. He who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. So it ends up liberality. I, by nature, am very tight. I've told you before, I hide candy. I'm like, what am I doing? You know, at Christmas, I'll get a box of chocolate-covered cherries. And this last Christmas, I shared. I was like, it's a miracle. Because they come in two trays stacked. You peel the plastic off. Man, I can put away a whole tray, bam, like that. But if you leave them out, people eat your cherries. They eat them every time. And I got there, where am I? I didn't get enough. So put them out. Hey, would you like some of my cherries? Why? Because they're only a dollar someplace. Just get you some more. Give them away. But we're tight. It's mine, and I got it. And you make noises that go with it, and it's so painful. But when the circulation kicks in, and God says, look, I'm blessing you. Let me bless someone through you. You can't believe how much fun this is. You just can't imagine. When you let God just live and give through you, and how things change in your personal life. Go to Galatians 6. Now, this passage deals specifically with spiritual stuff. Okay, so it's not a bunch of verses I'm going to read, but please pay attention and listen. Galatians chapter 6, and let's jump in at verse 7. And this is what it starts with, where Paul says this: do not be deceived. So, how could you be deceived? In this context, you can be deceived by thinking, I have a new trick. I can sow weeds and poof, it'll turn into apples. I can sow my wild oats and pray for a crop failure. It doesn't matter what I sow. I can sow whatever I want to. I'm never going to reap that. Don't be deceived. I can tell you things in my own life. I have sown certain things in my life, good and bad, and I reap direct results from that. Some of you have health issues. Oh, God, why do I have health issues? You can't drink for 20, 30, 40 years and not have health issues. Chain smokers. Oh, God, why have you done this to me? He's not doing anything to you. You are reaping what you have sown. I don't like this. It's the way it is. You say, but God could heal me. Yes, he could, but he may not. And you would think that we see enough correlation here. We go, oh, grandma smoked every day. Well, one grandma, she smoked. She lived at 105. Oh, well, then let's do it because she survived it. Look around. God uses this reaping and sowing and goes, look, this is what this person sowed. Reap. It doesn't change. Do you think you want to do that? And yet we go finding weed seed and put it in the ground just like they did. How much destruction and just waste do you have to observe before you say, I don't want to go down that path. I believe I will sow something different, not this anymore. Do not be deceived. And the second thing, God is not mocked. You think, well, we're going to mock God and say, yeah, look here, God, we did what we wanted to and it all turned out good. So whatever, dude, mocking God. He's not mocked. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So you've got options. You've got a corruption crop coming in or an everlasting life crop coming in. Which are you going to come up with? If you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption, death. If you sow to the Spirit, it results in life. Two plans. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now, what is that about? It takes time. The problem with sin is it gives you instant gratification, but it's corruption, it's sin. The problem with righteousness is you plant a seed and then you wait. And most of us can't wait because sin trumps time and says, oh, well, you don't have to wait for me, dude. I'll give you a high right now. I'll give you a hit right now. But it's never satisfied. Don't grow weary. You say, well, I've been doing the right thing for a couple of days now. Let's maybe try it a couple of more. I meet somebody and go, well, they say, yeah, I'm in AA or something. I go, well, that's great. How long have you been sober? 3 hours. You say, that's a big deal. It is if they've made it that far. But if they get to hour 4 and go, I don't think sobriety's for me, because alcohol gives them what they want, it really never gives you what you want. It gives you what it wants. And what it wants is you. Sin does not give you what you want. It gets what it wants, and it's always you, and consumes your life. As opposed to saying, you know what? Look at this mess behind me. I'm going to sow some seed today and keep at that. Help me not grow weary. The scripture says don't grow weary in doing good. Why? Because we get tired and the devil wears you out. Dude, it's not working. You're trying this Christian thing. You don't feel like you did when you were high. And then you have memories of how you felt. This happens to people that steal, by the way. That euphoria. You go in a store, you put something, you get out, you get away with it. You're in the car, your heart's beating. Like, I've read about this. I don't know anything about it, but I read about it. And then you say, well, I'm not going to steal anymore. I'm going to go to work. Let me tell you something. You're not going to get high at work. Oh, I love working because it is so fun. You know, like, this is better than stealing because you get that rush. But you go to work, and you be patient. And then what happens? You look down and like, boom, here it comes. Now, when a crop comes in, the cool thing about a crop is it comes in quick. It shoots out of the ground, and all of a sudden, the fruit of your labor is there, and you go, wow, this was worth it. But if you have crops coming in from not growing weary and well-doing, don't eat all your seed. Put some back in the ground, and the cycle continues. So don't grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You say, well, then it's just about doing good. Not in the sense that you're thinking. It's about living a godly life where you understand that Jesus lives in you, and he says, hey, let's help that person. And then what you end up doing is saying, hey, I'm here, but let me clarify, I'm here in Jesus' name. And he prompted me to come help you or send an anonymous, whatever it may be. And we take care of each other. You say, well, it sounded like you found out if we're not giving, we're not going to help you. It doesn't help you to think that it's all coming your way and you don't have to participate. You're farming with us. And part of our job is to help you understand the reaping, sowing principle and let you enjoy and be a beneficiary of what happens.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
So my first question may be this. Are you weed or are you seed that God has planted? You say, well, I'm weed. I'm wicked. I'm evil. I want nothing to do with God, but I can't explain this strange thing going on within me. You've talked about Jesus dying for me, being buried, raised from the dead, and it's like I'm getting pulled away from this life that I have. What is that? That's him. Respond. He's planted a seed in you. Maybe it just got planted today, here, somewhere beyond here. Respond to the seed. Be good soil that it can germinate in and end up in life, eternal life, abundant life. You're never going to do better with your life than he can. Not going to happen. And then another part of the question is, are you planting weed or are you planting seed? What are you sowing into other people's lives, into your children, into your family? What impact are you having? Is it for His good and His glory, or are you just messing things up?
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.